So we truly are living in perilous times. Can you guys agree on that? Everything going on, and things are really starting to become desperate, not just here in our country, but in around the world. We're seeing a lot of desperate things. In America, we still have tremendous freedoms. We still have tremendous liberties, and we still have tremendous prosperity. But these things are in peril. They really, truly are. And we may be losing these things faster than we expect. We may be losing some of our liberties and our freedoms right before our very eyes. And we've had the privilege of going and traveling all around the country. We've got to live in Alaska. We've got to live in California, Arizona. We've been all over the country. And we've got to see a lot of different cultures and how people live. And like Pastor, our church goes to Africa every year, right? They go over to another continent. And they get to see places that don't get to share in our tremendous blessing that God has given us in this country. We are truly blessed. We have tremendous prosperity here. And the poorest people here at this church, the poorest people here are still wealthier than 95% of the rest of the world. And we don't see that. There are places today where people, they still live in a mud hut. They have grass roofs. They have no running water. They have no electricity. They have no stove to cook on. There's places where they have no automobiles. People still don't have shoes. And yet here in this country, we still complain. We complain about a lot of things. But this is something that we can't appreciate, right? We have a liberty here in this country that they have in other countries that they don't have. They cannot proclaim Jesus Christ as their only Lord and Savior. They don't have the liberties to do that. We still have that. There are people in other countries that are killed just for having a Bible, just for carrying a Bible, just for proclaiming to be a Christian. They can be killed for that. And you guys ask, could it come here? And yes, I believe that it could. I believe that it could come here. I believe that is coming very quickly. The things that we see, our liberties are being eroded right before our very eyes. There are city councils across this country that have made it illegal to pray in Jesus' name. You can't even at a city council meeting pray in the name of Jesus. They can arrest you if you do. You can't even go to churches or schools and pray anymore. They have violations now in local schools. You can't even wear, by indication, a t-shirt, right? A cross. They don't want you to wear a cross to school. They don't want you to wear a t-shirt with a Bible verse on it. But it seems like if you are like maybe a Buddhist or a Muslim, that seems to be okay, right? They don't seem to complain when you see these kids wearing a shirt with Satan on it. They've seen that. They accept that. That seems to be okay. That's not offensive. And it seems like everyone right now is tolerant with everything except evangelical Christians. It doesn't seem like Christians are tolerated very much. And it could be that in the very near future that persecution will come for us. And what I do know and what I see is that Christians are being maligned more and more. We really, truly are. Christians today have become what they used to call, remember they used to say, oh man, that guy's a lunatic, the lunatic fringe. People are starting to say these Christians are mentally disturbed. They're dangerous. They're undermining the very fabric of our society. You guys see that and hear that, right, in the news? You guys see that all over. They're saying how Christians are dangerous. And even now, as pastors at churches, if you read certain pastors or passages, pastors read them out, and it could offend homosexuals because they're offended by that. And now we simply quote scriptures and people are saying that's a hate crime. Pastors are being accused of hate crimes because of reading the Word of God and preaching to the youth and preaching to the congregations. And today we really truly are becoming a minority. But we must understand that in every generation, right, every generation that there has been before us, God has a remnant of Christians. And there are those that will not bow a knee. They will not bow a knee to Baal. They will not bow down. There are those that are willing to stand firm despite any pressure put on them, right? We see that. We see pastors standing firm. We see pastors in other countries getting arrested, standing firm. They will not deny their testimony. And we got to be willing to stand strong. We got to be the ones that stand strong in this adversity and say, I will not forsake my testimony of Jesus Christ. It could come. But you have to be standing strong in these days when they do come, and I will not abandon my values, and I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Now, in order to do this, we must understand the Word of God. We must have knowledge, right? We have to be plugged in. We can't just be coming to church on Sunday. That's not enough anymore. Maybe a Bible study here and there. We have to be really learning Bible doctrine right now more than ever. And now today we're going to kind of give a little summary overview. If you guys want to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter, we're going to kind of go through. Normally we're in the book of Acts, and normally we would take that book and we would go through verse by verse and we would break it down. But today we're going to go through 1 Peter, and I'm going to kind of give you just an overview, a summary, because 1 Peter really has to do about suffering, and specifically suffering as a Christian. Suffering of what can you expect, what's going to come your way. And the one thing is, when you do start suffering and facing difficulties and turmoil, how are you going to handle this? How are the difficulties, how are you going to overcome these difficulties when they do come, for whatever reason? When a sickness comes, when a virus comes, when friends and people are dying around you, how do we overcome this, right? When the country is shut down and we have all this mayhem going on and all this, these people stressed out and fear and anxiety, right? That's what's been going on the last couple months, a lot of fear and anxiety. But we have to look to the future. As Christians, we look to the future. And Peter is going to talk to us and teach us that. And I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit. And it says in 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When we see hope in the Bible, when you see hope, it's not like one day, man, I hope I win the lottery, right? It's not a desire for something good to happen, not knowing if it will. But hope in the Bible is a confident expectation about the future. It's a confident expectation. We have a living hope as Christians here because we have a living God. We serve a Savior that is living, and we have confidence in the future knowing because God has a plan for us. In verses 4 and 5, in chapter 1, it says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We have an inheritance, and it's being reserved for us in heaven, okay? We are going to face difficulties as a Christian. A lot. Some of you are graduating. Some of you are going into high school. I'm not sure what grade you two are in right now. 11th grade. So you're going to be graduating. You're going, that's right. You are going to face difficulties. It's going to happen. We are going to suffer. It's just part of life. It's part of being a Christian. But there's something in the future that Peter talks about in our salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So what does that tell us? This is a salvation that's not quite here yet. Okay? This is something that we get to look forward to. You may go through very difficult times right now in this life, but we are going to be delivered from this. In verses 6 and 7, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice." So what are we rejoicing for? You are rejoicing that God has a plan for you that goes beyond this life, an inheritance that is secure for us, and that we are being kept, you know, we are being protected by the power of God. We have a hope to rejoice about. How many people right now have no hope? How many people do you see out in the world today are completely hopeless? We have a hope. And it says, "We have a hope to rejoice about now, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Kids, there's going to be suffering in order that the genuineness of your faith is tested, okay? You are going to have your faith tested. It's like he talks about your faith tested by fire, being more, much more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow us to go through suffering? That's a question as Christians, even as adults. It's like, why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? It's always in the back and the forefront of our mind when things don't go the right way or the way we think it should go or the way we plan for it. But it says it's for your blessing. It's because God has a purpose for it. You are going to go through suffering. It's because God has a purpose for it. And ultimately, it's to bring praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ, right? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we need to understand something very clearly as youth. And I want to make sure, and I know sometimes youth, they powder coat things, but I want to be as honest as I can, that life is not about you, okay? As Christians, as believers, life is not about you. We are not here to be comfortable. We are not here to be successful. God has not called us to success. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean all of a sudden we're going to have this great success and everything's going to be all happy-dory. It doesn't work that way. God has not called you to success. He has not called you to a life of comfort and ease. If he did, do you think Paul would have been writing letters from jail? Do you think the disciples would have been persecuted to the end of their days? We are not called to comfort and ease. God has called us to bring him glory. And if we can focus on that, and that becomes a goal of your life, saying, God, what can I do in this situation? What do you need me to do to where I can bring glory to you? What can we do in a situation when we're just going through all kinds of turmoil? What can we do to honor God and praise God? So last year we had a good friend, Jerry Bishop, you guys might have known. For those of you that are new, he passed away. And he always had this little phrase, and he would say, one day closer. Everyone asked him, how are you? And Jerry would say, man, I'm one day closer. He knew he knew where he was going. He knew that he had a confident expectation of where he was going when he passed away. He knew that he was going to go see Jesus. He would say, I'm one day closer. And he lived his life with the testimony of honoring God and sharing every opportunity he could. And I would have to say that Jerry died well. He died well. And another pastor friend of mine told a story about a friend of his that was living in hospice care, and he was with them the day he passed away, and he said people would call him and would come by and see him in the hospice care, and they would say, how are you doing? And his response was, I'm dying. Isn't that great? Could you imagine being able to say that? I'm dying. Isn't that awesome? So my pastor friend said that through his friend's death, he just kept saying how good God was, how great God was, how great the grace of God was. And you hear stories about people dying that they die hopeless. They die in fear. And we have a lot of Christians that complain. They say, why is this happening to me, right? A lot of Christians complaining. And they're not dying well. They're not living their life well. They're not dying. And we need to be having an open heart and open mind because God is going to give us intensified opportunities to glorify him. I've gone through some things that our family members have been like, wow, that's pretty amazing that you've been able to go through that and come out okay. And it's not because of anything we did. It's because when we go through these trials and these times, we've been able to put more of our faith in God, more of our trust in God, knowing that he's ultimately in control. And when we go through suffering, it's not like we're just going to be like, oh, I'm just going to grit my teeth and bear through this, right? It's just, this too shall pass. We hear that, right? Oh, this will just pass. But he gives us these intensified opportunities. And it's not that we understand a lot of this, but God knows right where you are. He knows right where you are in these times of suffering, and he will give you grace. He's going to give you grace. And he's going to give you whatever you need so you can glorify him in these circumstances, but you have to have an open heart. Your suffering may be slight. Your suffering may be extreme. We don't know. God will give you grace for it. He's going to give you what you need. And the purpose of your suffering is that your result will end in praise and honor, right? In glorifying Jesus. Being grieved by various trials, that doesn't sound too bad. But sometimes we have trials that are extreme. Sometimes they're not very hard. Sometimes they are. But we have these trials, and we go through these trials so we can see the purpose of our genuineness, right, of our faith. It means something that has been put to the test, is it genuine? When you guys suffer and you go through problems and life's not all right, is your faith genuine? And that's what you're going to be tested on. It's easy to believe, right, when Jesus, when it's all life's all pie in the sky and everything's okay, right? When everything's going good and everything's going right and everything's all, the economy's going good and your health is good, it's good to be like, oh, praise Jesus, oh, God, I love you, right? When everything's going good in our life, it's easy. But what happens the next day when something bad happens or tragic? You'll find out what you truly believe. That's when you're going to be tested, and unfortunately, we are going to be tested, every one of us. In that moment, are you going to continue to trust God? The genuineness of your faith is only going to be revealed under the condition of suffering. Because if you are not suffering, how do you know that it's real? How do you know your faith is real? How do you know you're genuine if you don't go through suffering? Chapter 1, verses 13, it says, therefore, gird up your mind. Now, this is a preparation. It's a word for getting ready. Okay, we must be mentally prepared. We must be ready when the suffering comes, when tragedy comes, when trials come. In some form or degree, it will come. Be sober. Yes, it means don't be drunk. We don't want to be drunk. But it's also having mental stability. There's not a form of mental confusion. You don't want to be mentally confused. You need to have your mind clear when the suffering comes, and it's the Word of God that will get you there. Then he continues with, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's more grace to come, right? We have grace in our spiritual lives, and there's still more coming for us. Suffering, that's the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We will exit this body, right? Thank goodness we're going to be able to exit this body that are corruptible. This body's corruptible. It's mortal. My body's getting fat, right? We're going to be able to get out of this body. How awesome is that? This body gets sick. This body gets hurt. As you get older, about 40 years old, and I know you think your parents are crazy, and they're like, yeah, whatever happens. You know, you guys are just old, and that's not going to happen to me. When you hit 40, things start failing. Vision, you can't get out of bed, your back hurts, your knees hurt. But how great is that going to be that one day we're going to get to see Jesus face to face? We're not going to be in this mortal body anymore. Rest your hope fully on the future. And people, they're going to disagree with you, right, as Christians? And you see it more and more now. People think that Christians, we are weirdos. They think, oh my goodness, you're one of those weirdo Christian guys or gals, because they think we have this strange idea about something in the future, right? We know that we're going to be going to heaven. And they don't have that. Most unbelievers you talk with, they're completely hopeless. They're helpless and they're hopeless. But we know that there's something better for us. And they think that they'll be saved, right? You see it, oh, the environmentalists are going to save us. Or some political party's going to save us. We see some religious experience, but that's not going to happen. And the unbelievers have no hope. They have no hope. We have hope, and the Bible says rest your hope fully on grace. Here we see a future grace, right? We have a future grace. We have a future hope. Verse 12 of chapter 2 says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, and Gentiles mean unbelievers, that when they speak against you as evildoers, Does that ever happen? Do they ever speak against Christians right now? Seems more and more every day, huh? Christians are being persecuted. Christians in the Bible are under attack. But that they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You keep on doing the good works. You keep pressing on, doing what God has commanded us to do, right? And this is going to glorify God. And why are we here? Why are we here as Christians today? We're here so we can glorify God. As you continue to do the will of God and you continue to share the will of God, this is going to bring glory to God. And even the unbelievers are going to acknowledge, they're going to acknowledge this, to your good work. So it's chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Now here, we are to have an answer. We're to have a defense. People are going to think that we are very strange, but we're to have an answer. We're to have a defense. Why would you maintain that point of view? People ask, why? Why do you believe the Bible? It's just a bunch of hoopla, right? The Bible, it's old. It's old. It's not, it doesn't pertain to what we do in this world. But you must be standing ready to give an answer. And the only way to do that is to know Bible doctrine. You guys have got to be plugged in. You guys have got to start memorizing Scripture as youth right now. You guys have got to start spending time in your Bible. Like I said, Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings, it's not enough. You guys have got to be in your Word daily. I mean, do you think that that day could come one day when maybe we can't carry a Bible here in this country? I mean, it could happen. It's happened all over the world. Would you like to carry a Bible to India, proclaim Christ? Would you like to take a Bible over to Iraq or Iran? I don't think so. There are people being persecuted and killed just for having a Bible with them. And it's very sad because there's a lot of people in this country today who proclaim to be Christians that don't read their Bible. They go to Bible churches and they don't read their Bible. And that's sad. That's sad to me that we're not spending time in the Word of God every day. But we need to be memorizing Scripture. We need to have your Word hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you. We need to be memorizing Scripture. We need to be spending more time in the Word of God. If you want to claim promises, you must memorize Scripture. What are you going to claim and hang on to when your suffering comes? So like right now, the news, right, it tells us one day, it tells us one thing to do with this virus that's going on, and we have the CDC, and we have the WHO, and we have all these governmental agencies telling us what we're supposed to do, and then the next day, it contradicts what they told us to do, and then the next day, you're like, wait a minute, they told us not to do this, they told us, right? And that's confusion, and that's how Satan works, because Satan loves to confuse people. But we don't have to be confused as a Christian. The Bible's not confusing, and we see that in chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, it says, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and then its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Be ready to give a defense. Be ready to have a confident expectation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, 13 says, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Now, this isn't suffering on the cross. That's already been done, right? That's already happened. But it's sharing in Christ's suffering because the fact that you name the name of Jesus Christ. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you name his name. You're not ashamed about your testimony about Jesus Christ. It is absolutely sadness that there are Christians out there today that are not sharing Jesus. They're not sharing the Word. We as a youth, we as a church, we should be doing more. And that's something that we're going to work on this year. We should be doing more sharing the Word of God to the lost out there. There's a lot of people in the community that don't know Jesus. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. For where Jesus said, before the world hated you, he hated me, you can expect that. Chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, people, we are going to suffer. It is going to happen. God will provide for us everything we need for every circumstance we face. And in 1 Peter, I really encourage you to read it, because as a Christian, I don't want you to be caught off guard. I want you to understand that things are going to happen. When you're in school, I don't know if some of you are going to be back in public school when all this is over for next year. And there's a lot of things. We see our friends that have been telling us their kids are so depressed because they didn't get to graduate. They didn't get to finish their senior year, and they're depressed and they're sad. And some of them aren't going on to college now because their faith isn't strong. They don't know how to overcome this. And I don't want to be up here teaching you kids and it's all pie in the sky and everything's okay, because it's not, because we are going to face suffering. So in chapter 5, verse 10, although we see suffering, right? In chapter 1, we see suffering as the will of God that purifies our faith. Though it be tried by fire, Peter said, is a purification process. Okay, this will help us get rid of the things that aren't essential, and we'll come to see what we believe and what we don't believe. In chapter 2, Peter said, suffering for sin has no virtue. Right? If you did something that was sinful and you're suffering from that, that doesn't have any virtue with God. You do something wrong and you suffer, it's like that's no credit with God at all. But suffering that is undeserved is commendable by God. We see that in chapter 2. The right response, sometimes we become bitter, we become angry, we blame God, right? That happens a lot. We see that a lot with Christians. But if you have suffering that is undeserved and you have the right response to it in the right way, well, that's grace with God, and that's commendable. And what about suffering as a blessing which may open the door to bearing witness? I'm going to finish with this. I don't think we have much time left. But there was a pastor friend of mine shared this story about this leading oncologist out of Arkansas, and it was he was a friend of his, and the doctor was an atheist. And he was very famous cancer doctor in Arkansas, where my pastor friend lived. And he gave his testimony at the church where he was at. And the doctor said, do you know why I became a Christian? And he said, because in my business, the cancer business, I have watched hundreds and hundreds of people die. With a tremendous testimony, he says, but Christians do not die like everybody else. This doctor said he would walk into a room where there was a Christian who had a strong faith, and he said that they would ask him, doctor, I know where I'm going. How about you? Do you know where you're going when you're going to die? And he said the Christians didn't die like anybody else. He said he would go into other rooms and other family members, they'd be squabbling and fighting, they'd be angry and they'd be bitter, and they'd be hateful, and they would be just blaming everybody. And he said, but not Christians. He said Christians' families, they would be, doc, let's pray for you. And he said they would pray for him. And he said Christians don't die like anybody else. What an amazing testimony that you can have. An amazing testimony as a Christian that even though maybe you're dying, you're on your deathbed, how you can proclaim Christ, how you can lead someone else to Jesus by having your faith. So are they all done over there now? Okay. And suffering was the path to glory for our Lord, right? And it can be for us as well. Suffering is an encouragement to us because it occurs and you see in chapter 4, because you guys are going to go home and you're going to read 1 Peter this week. I feel it. I feel you're all going to read it. You're going on vacation, so you can read it on the plane while you're gone. But in chapter 4, it's an encouragement because godless men are threatened by the change that God produces in our lives. They don't understand. The world doesn't understand why we don't live like they do. They don't understand why we don't choose the road to go down the road they go down. And they're threatened by that. And it produces in us, our lives, a change that they don't understand. And a lot of times they are really threatened by it. They can't understand why we don't do that. And suffering should not be a surprise as a Christian. I'm just letting you know, don't be surprised when suffering and turmoil comes your way. Peter said, don't be surprised by the fiery trial, which is to try you. Suffering it's experienced by all believers. We all go through it. Everyone's suffering is different. And we're all going to go through that. But I'll close here with 1 Peter 4:12. It says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though by some strange thing happened to you. Beloved, do you guys understand what that means? He says, beloved. That is a word that should give us courage as a Christian. In the face of any trial, because it means you are the object of God's love. And that love will never change. It will never diminish. You are loved by God. It's only a test. It's just a test. So if any one of you is suffering as a Christian, if any one of you is going through anything, let it glorify God. Let it glorify Him. And it's coming. We can't escape it. It's going to happen. I'd encourage you through the next week while you guys are off. How many of you guys have been off for a month or two? Yeah, pretty much everyone in here. So you don't have to, not by a show of hands, but how many of you turned your TV off? Turned your internet off, turned your cell phones off, turned off Facebook, turned off social media, turned off the video games, and actually plugged into the Word of God while you've had these last 2 months. I know we failed in some of those areas. I know that we have. But it was a great opportunity to take this time to really grow in the Word and really set Bible study time up at home and set time aside to where we could honor God as a family. And I know that we failed in that as well. But God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose if you are suffering. And when you go through suffering, He's going to have a purpose for that. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for Your words. We thank You, Lord, for just blessing us in so many ways. And I pray, Lord, that if anyone here is suffering or anyone here is going through any hard times, Lord, that You just bless them, Lord. Fill their hearts with the truth. Fill their hearts with what You have for us. And as we turn out into this world, we pray, Father God, that You just help us to stand strong. To stand strong against everything out there, against the evil one, that we will not forsake our testimony. We love You, Father God, and we praise You, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.